You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. So nice to have you here, as always. This is the place where you can get insight about yourself. I know it's kind of scary, isn't it? And others and why they do the things they do. Maybe help you understand things a little bit better in life, because I am a licensed psychologist. And I do try to give you some insight about stuff and people and things like that. It's all good. It doesn't hurt. It's not that painful. So we're going to talk a lot today about celebrities. Well, because the nominations for the Academy Awards just came out yesterday. And also we're going to talk about some of the celebrity meltdowns that we've been seeing lately. I mean, they're always happening, right? I'm going to give you my theories as to why they happen. What's going on there? Al? What's up with that? I encourage you to call in live if you would like to and make comments or ask questions, because I have a special guest in the studio today who's a celebrity expert. We're going to talk to him coming up in a little bit. But the number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815 right here in beautiful Los Angeles, the Mecca of Hollywood. That's where it's at. As you guys may know, I've studied people's body language and also communication skills for a really long time. Not going to tell you how long, but very long. I'm now the psychological expert for Entertainment Tonight, where I analyze the body language and voice patterns. You know, I have a lot of celebrities and newsmakers. And my job is to try and detect whether they're lying. Kind of sensationalist, I know. But we can tell if people are trying to avoid answering a question, or if they're uncomfortable and not trusting the person they're with, or, as I call it, fabricating an answer, or finding the best answer that sounds pretty good for the audience, or whatever may be coming up when they're interviewed. So we're going to talk about some of those celebrities today. Probably the most revealing celebrity interviews I analyzed for ET were those with Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, come on. Give me a break. And Lance Armstrong. Yeah. And many of those, responses that they gave to Oprah when she was interviewing them. It was clear that many times both of those guys were lying. Really? Well, you have to. You have to keep on, sort of a good face for your public. You have to try. You don't get away with it most of the time, but at least you have to try. But I want to ask you guys out there, and I'd love to hear your comments as well, and I'm going to be asking and putting my special guest on the spot, which he loves, actually. Why do so many celebrities have meltdowns or act crazy? I know that's not politically correct, especially for a psychologist. So I'll say it differently. Why do you think that so many celebrities are not in control of their emotions in public? I know you all have a few ideas. You know, there's alcohol and abusing drugs. And I think it's because of a lot of reasons. I mean, the pressured lifestyle of performers, you know, have to put it out there all the time. They always have to put on a public face. it's really hard to get in touch with who you really are when you have to be something you're not all the time out there, right? And then I think that a lot of times a lot of folks don't know who they really are because they don't have downtime and a chance to self-explore and go within. And of course, fans can be difficult. You know, exposure to the celebrity life of being able to hook up with a multitude of people, right? Because of being a star. Yeah. And of course, because you are a celebrity, it messes up a lot of marriages and relationships. We see that all the time. There's trust issues as well going on, I think, with a lot of people who are out there in the media and the celebrity minds. Another, you know, is this person really with me? Because they love me. They love me. You really love me. Or the fact that it feels good to be with a star. You know, you do doubt these things a lot of times, I would think. If you're a high-profile celebrity, do you really love me? You know, there's a lot of insecurity going on. So I have theories about actors and their inner psychological struggles. And I think you guys would agree with me in a lot of cases. I think that many well-seasoned actors know the differences between acting and becoming or holding on to some of the difficult roles that they have to play. And I've always had a theory that many actors who embrace other characters that they're playing in films or on stage or whatever, sometimes they get into the anxiety or pain or whatever depression that the character has to feel. And I've talked about this before because, you know, it's brain studies, right? When we're continuously having to bring out various emotional states, we flip that light switch on, we have to develop emotional habits and patterns, and it stays within us. So I've always found it really fascinating how actors get out of, you know, feeling the pain and suffering, anger or anxiety that they have to feel or express after playing a character for a long period of time, you know, working in a film or stage or whatever, or even, you know, celebrity singers, you know, putting on that appearance all the time of being something you're really not. And how do you click out of that? Your neurons are being forced to click into all these negative feelings, negative anxiety, fear, stress, because you're playing this character. Is your brain knowing the difference between who you really are and that person sometimes? No, the brain doesn't know sometimes the difference between reality and what we're watching or forcing ourselves to feel or see. And if it's habitual, we just grow more of those depressive, anxious, stressful feelings. So it is Hollywood. It is going on. And also, of course, we have the paparazzi, those crazy people out there. They're really screwing up a lot of celebrities too, making them angry, and it's not fair. So whether it's Tom Cruise, sorry, Tom, I'm sorry. Come on. Or Justin Bieber. So many celebrities, they're showing their weaknesses in the public eye. Now, everybody has a boiling point, and, you know, it's really hard with demanding fans and the Hollywood environment. So today we're talking about the psyche of some celebrities, why they do some of the crazy things they do. We're going to speculate also on who will be the winners of the Academy Awards this year. I'm not going to speculate because I'm not an expert at that. But my special guest is. So it's really my pleasure to welcome you to the show. John Corcoran.
Yes.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be welcome. Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. I had no idea this was going to be so deep. This
really?
May be beyond my shallow little brain pan. I don't know. You're talking about getting into roles and getting out of roles and things like that. That's some good stuff.
It is good stuff, and thank you.
It is. It's really great. I love that analysis, and that's so, you know, it's so accurate to say, how do they get into a mindset, particularly on stage? Okay, you prepare, you go on stage, you get feedback from the audience, you're in your character. Yeah. But in a movie, you may be two minutes earlier, you might be eating a hot dog, and it's time to shoot, and you got to get into the character.
That's exactly right. And then they didn't like that take, and then 15 takes later, you have to feel up those emotions of suffering again.
Which, to me, first of all, you mentioned the Oscars earlier. I want to get to one quick point I'd like to make about.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Sometimes people look at the screeners. They don't bother to see the whole movie.
Right.
And in many cases, sometimes great moments in acting get overlooked. And I think that may have been what happened to Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks has a moment late in that movie
that
is as powerful as I've seen on screen in years.
Right.
Where he's being debriefed and being checked out by the corpsman.
Oh, yes.
And if people didn't get to that point in the movie, they don't appreciate it because, you know, his accent wandered in and out a little bit as he was going.
On. Yeah, yeah.
And the young black actor who was playing the Somalian, very well trained for it, he was Somalian, oftentimes stole the picture while he was on screen.
He was good.
But there are moments sometimes, and how they get to him and where they come from, that's what makes a guy a genius.
Yeah,
or a woman,
exactly.
A genius.
I agree with you. By the way, folks, in case you don't know John Corcoran, he's
an
author.
Many don't.
Yes, they do. Come on
thank
now.
Thank you so much.
Yes, they do. You're a star in your own right.
I'm a legend in my own shorts. Whatever.
John is an author and 7-time Emmy winner who has been in entertainment for so many years. Yeah, you've been reporting and anchoring for ABC and, of course, Disney Network and CBS, of course. And you've covered many Academy Awards and Golden Globes.
They never call. What is going on? Do I get a call from? No.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're out there.
Get out of
your face. I see you peeking in there. Oh, there's John. And you're now writing your blog, Breaking Satire.
This is correct.
That's hysterical. I love your blog.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We're trying to be humorous and making fun of the news and the people who make news.
Well, it's good stuff. And we'll tell you guys how you can get more information about John. Also, you're a playwright. You're finishing up your first novel, not your first book. You've written two other books.
Right.
But this is your first novel about the topic of movie junkets. And it's called Doing Julia.
Yes, I have to explain that.
Maybe it'd
be better if people just bought the book and found out.
Yeah, no, that's a good tease.
Now, let's say you're on a junket and Julia Roberts is on it.
Yes.
And Julia only is doing maybe about half the media who are coming because she's very busy and very powerful and doesn't have time for everybody.
That's right.
Or just, you know, whatever her schedule is.
Yeah.
So you arrive, you see one of your junket buddies, you walk in and say, "Are you doing Julia?" And that's perfectly innocent. But I like the title.
I do, too.
I will be happy to pass them out from the back of my truck.
Cool. It's a very tantalizing title, by the way. Your first book, by the way, was called True Grits.
Yes, it was.
That was hysterical.
Not a cookbook.
No.
Not a cookbook, no.
No.
It was about the South.
Yes. And?
It bombed.
No, it didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a
big
hit.
I didn't think it bombed. I thought it was great.
Thank you. Well, I didn't say it wasn't good. I said it bombed.
Oh, okay.
Although I did happen to give a copy to Jimmy Carter, who it was partially about, and also to President Clinton.
They liked it.
They did. They loved it. Clinton had it on his desk for a week afterwards, I was told.
Nice.
By my inside source at the White House.
Good. We'll talk about that later, too. And, of course, the book prior to your latest, Doing Julia, was called A Few Marbles Left. And it's a great read about your experiences with celebrities and movie junkets.
This is correct.
That was a great book.
Thank you.
Funny
You're
stuff.
You're so nice.
Well, no, I'm just being honest, buddy. What can I tell you? So, you know, we're talking about a lot of crazy celebrity meltdowns, things going on. You know, you've won 7 Emmys for your interview and reporting, too.
Yes, yes.
Man, congratulations.
Amazing, isn't it? It was a weak year.
But you've interviewed some of the, you know, biggest and well-known celebrities. Why do you think so many celebrities seem crazy or have these public meltdowns? Why is that?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, certainly.
Right.
And never played one on TV or radio, either one. I have no knowledge. But I think, and this may be a more technical term than a lot of people like, I think in many cases celebrities just ain't hooked up right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. Who wants to be a movie star? Who wants to be? You've got to be driven by an inner need of some sort for self satisfaction, for self not gratification. Wrong show.
Well, it's true though.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it.
It makes you feel
the normal people in high school were the ones just sitting up in front. They became insurance salesmen. They became car salesmen, and people like, which is a wonderfully honorable occupation, and certainly what normal people do. The odd ones, the ones that sat in the back of the room, the ones that were off in the corner, the ones who weren't picked at the dance to dance,
yeah.
The ones who weren't able to play football,
yeah.
They're the ones that brooded and became a little bit off. In other cases, now you take a man like, for example, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Talked to him a little bit, met him a little bit, not yeah. certainly obviously a friend. But Alec is Irish, of Irish
okay.
background.
So we're going to blame it on the Irish.
Well, I'm of Irish background, too, so
are.
I have a little understanding of how it works. And he happens to be a very private man about
yeah.
his... Think about it. Somebody's bringing their baby home from the hospital.
Right.
And they don't want people with bad yes. teeth and dirty eyeglasses and mean looks in their faces jumping out of the bushes at them.
That's true.
And that's just his family. No, I'm kidding. No, that's what paparazzi
his
can
brother.
Do. They can startle people. They can scare people.
Yeah.
There have been accidents with paparazzi chasing people and such. California got a little smart and they passed a law this
year.
Passed a law this year that will make it a lot easier for the owners of children, the parents of children, to protect their child at least from the intrusions of unwanted cameras and unwanted sound.
They sure did. Yeah,
yeah.
Halle Berry got out there,
yep.
and yeah. So
and it's a good law. And on the other hand, you've got we'll see if it's a good law. We'll
yeah.
see how it's enforced.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, you've got the question of whether or not it will be enforced, and how do you prove intent on the person? Did they mean to terrorize that child? I don't know.
No.
Celebrities may rent a child just to not be bothered. I don't know.
Hey, wait a minute. You have a great idea.
I might open a small store renting
oh,
small children
my gosh.
To prevent the popper. But it's funny.
Idea.
I don't mean to disparage the good, honest photographers of the world.
No.
And I've worked with many of them in television.
Yeah.
A lot of videographers don't like paparazzi either.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Because
right.
they stand in front of them and get in the way. But
They call them
a lot of things.
Photographic journalists.
Is that what they call the
yeah.
still guys? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard worse.
Yeah, I have too.
And they always promise they won't get in the way, and they always do. And
yeah.
oh, it's fun to watch a guy come around his camera
yep.
and go after one.
Exactly.
That's one of the fun things at the Oscars.
By the way, you're on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk station. And you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist here. My special guest today is John Corcoran. He's an author and 7-time Emmy winner. Who is entertainment reporter for all of the networks, basically. You've worked at most all of them, haven't you?
Yeah, I couldn't give a job, as they say. But I worked for ABC here
yeah.
and also for KCAL, which is owned by The Mouse,
that's right.
by Disney.
The Mouse.
Yeah. And who else? CBS?
Yeah, you did.
Somebody else. And,
I remember seeing
some
you on there.
International show.
That's right.
Yep.
You sure did, by
big
the way.
Time. Big time.
And if you have any questions for John, about what's going on with the Academy Awards, crazy celebrities, or anything like that you might be curious about, give us a call here live, 323-203-0815. Or if you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me directly here, hooked up to the radio station. Doc Michelle, DOC Michelle with two L's at AOL.com if you have a question for John Corcoran or myself about celebrities or what they're doing or, whatever. I want to mention today also that today's show is sponsored by, and I want to thank you so much for our sponsor, Glow Lightwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Lightwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing. Wear your vibration with Sacred G Designs. Check out glowlightwear.com and find out what fits for you. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Yes, John.
It's where I do all my shopping.
Well, you should.
I like to have that glow light in my eye.
You do.
I've got a glow light.
Keeps you, yeah.
I want to ask you a question.
Good.
I want to ask you about body language.
Yeah.
What was the giveaway, for example, with, let's start with Armstrong. What was there about him? Because he's managed to fool the public very determinedly over the years. And I'd love to go behind the motivation of that, obviously, to be a winner. But what was there physically about him that kind of gave him away?
Well, I appreciate that question. Thank you. That's a great question.
Yeah.
It was, a lot. He had what I call a lot of protective body language.
Okay.
So what I saw in his interview with Oprah is that he was crossing his arms, which is a protective shield. He was also crossing his leg away from her.
Yeah. That's a good sign.
He switched a couple of times. It's almost like he was thinking in his mind, ooh, I better. Some people just do it automatically because their legs get tired and they want to shift the weight or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of his body language indicated that he was sort of protecting or shielding himself. If you watched his hands, he clasped his hands together tightly and put them in his lap. Mm. And, you know, there's sort of, I'm going to protect the groin thing with that men do. Oh, God, oh, God, she's going to hit me in the... And so there was that that I saw. Also, we have the right eye flash.
The right eye flash.
The right eye flash.
Okay.
Sometimes when people look up to the right, mm-hmm. it means that they may be fabricating an answer.
I've heard that, but I didn't remember if it was right or left. I'm going to have to remember which way to stare when I'm fabricating answers.
Yeah, no, you should, so you can fake people out. Most people don't know that. But, I mean, if you know, that's creativity. The right brain is creativity. Okay. So you're looking up to the right, and you're trying to create an answer.
Okay.
A left brain is more rational and recall.
I don't have much use for that.
a lot of memory and recall. Yeah. So if someone's looking down or up to the left many times, mm-hmm. they're really trying to recall a true incident.
Ah.
People who are looking up to the right or down are fabricating many times. And I can't say that these are general rules and this applies all the time because, you know, someone just may have fatigue in their eyes and they're just, you know, whatever. There's so many variables. But these are just sort of classic things that we look for.
That's amazing to be able to see people and understand that. It's like almost peering into their mind.
Yes, you can. And you can learn a lot of, you know, body language techniques, you know, just by watching people. You can learn a lot.
Speaking of books, you should have a book. Have you thought about a book? I think you need to do a book.
Well, there are two right now that we are almost finished with.
All right. That's good to know. See?
Yes.
Breaking news here on the Dr. Michelle on the Couch show. We're breaking news on our own show. Telling her
she's telling things
she probably didn't want anybody to know yet.
Exactly.
I hope I haven't ruined your publishing career.
No, I've talked about detoxing the drama in relationships many times, and also beating the bully inside. So
beating the bully inside.
We are all our own worst enemy. So
I'll buy that. Okay. Yeah, I'll buy that.
You got it.
Yeah.
Sale done.
Incredible.
We're done. So
I wish I had a publishing house. I'd publish it. But you probably got one. You're also that's great. I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Great show. I love the show.
Thank you so much. Well, it's always nice to have you here. You're
and as I often say, it's nice being had.
Well, good. You know, I always love having John Corcoran in the studio because he's so fun.
I have to act like this.
Me up.
Yeah, I wrote everybody and told them to tune in at 20 after. I wasn't supposed to be on here until 20 after.
Oh, well, gee, you're not supposed to tell people.
Yeah, I said,
you're supposed to say 11 o'clock. That's when the show starts.
Come on. I know. That's my bad.
Throw me a bone here.
I feel awful about that. Don't tempt me. We're turning this into a nightclub act. That's not right.
Exactly.
But I know this is a great show. And I do listen quite frequently because I find out how to look if people are asking me important questions.
Yeah. So good. You are the guest who cracks me up the most when you come in the studio.
Well, that's good to
know.
You're
so much fun.
I try my best.
We're talking about celebrities and the crazy meltdowns, and we talked about paparazzi and you know what's going on. With some of the laws that they've enacted, at least here in California, to protect some of the people and their children from the paparazzi and staying, you know, a certain amount of yards away from celebrities and things you can and cannot do, which they'll still do. And they'll go in jail, get arrested, and then they'll get out and continue to do it. But at least maybe there are more, you know, laws that are going to prevent them from, you know, really being too intrusive.
And the other thing, of course, is that they're not doing this for their own amusement. They're doing it because it's how they make a living.
Yeah, exactly.
In many cases. And how do they make a living?
Yeah.
Because people buy their pictures.
Well, that's
and who
right.
buys the pictures?
Yeah.
The public.
Yep, they sure do.
Now, how do we protect kids from their parents?
well said.
That's the other one.
I was
watching,
which,
I also got on the other day, I was watching a little bit of the Honey Boo Boo show.
No, you weren't. Don't tell me.
No, just a little video clip.
Don't tell me you
because it's
that.
Back on the air. I don't know why, but it's back on the air again. And
I
that was very sad to watch.
You know, that poor little girl, that obesity really scares me.
Yeah.
And the acceptance of that and her mother. And, you know, and it is, you know, I'm not judging and I'm not saying that they're bad people, but it's about health and you know, showing. You know, the country and the world, it's a very famous show. It's very popular, actually. And, you know, that children and moms and dads really need to take care of their whole family in terms of, you know, the obesity and all the heart attacks and the high blood pressure and all the problems that we experience. You know, that poor little girl really needs some help.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Yeah, but, I didn't mean to get off on that.
No, I'm sorry. I'm very distracting.
I get off on odd tangents. No, I really know what you're saying.
Odd tangents
no,
are us.
No, it's really true.
Oh, my eyes just flashed to the right on that. Look out.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you have done so many interviews, as we were talking about.
Lots.
With many of the celebrities. So let's talk. Let's get down and dirty.
Absolutely, I'm in favor of that.
Cool.
That's what sells radio.
Down and dirty.
All right.
Let's talk about some of those stars who I would ask you who were off the charts crazy. Who you met and
oh, well, they're protected. Stars are fairly well protected. I did mostly junket interviews, which are
right.
Where they bring in the media and we sit down for a while and interview the star.
So they're on good behavior.
Yeah, occasionally you'll see them not quite behaving. I've had that happen with a fellow named Mel something. I remember his name. Gibson. Gibson.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah, he had a junket in Maine, of all places, for a movie about a B-25. I forget the movie right now, but that was great because I've been to Maine many times, and they had a lot of the national media coming to Maine, and of course they had they feeded us with a great big lobster dinner, and I was sort of the in charge of telling people how to eat. I said, you know, eat those little legs; those are good. Pass the claws over. I'll take the claws. They're no good. You don't want those, no.
Yeah.
But and I think maybe I don't know. Maybe might have been partying the night before. There was. But at any rate, when I sat down with him, Mel Gibson, I guess, has anger issues. He might have anger issues. I'm not sure. Possibly. Rumor has it. And he was having difficulty expressing himself. I'm not exactly sure why. Perhaps I'd asked him dumb questions. There's always a possibility.
Well,
I was the
very
bad guy.
Open of you to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You know, I think I was a little hungover at the time, too, from all that lobster.
Yeah.
But at any rate, what happened was near the end of the interview, I asked him, you know, some semi-profound question, and he struggled with the answer. He had trouble putting words in order, not that he was having a stroke or anything, but just he was having a hard time expressing himself. And the moment, you know, he got the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's over, he hit himself in the head with the heel of his hand, kablam! Kaboom! Yeah, right in the middle.
He's like socking himself in the head.
Oh,
like,
not often. Just a quick left hook to the middle of his forehead, started cussing himself out for not being able to express himself. Well, I enjoyed the rest of the interview being carried out by the arms. You know, it's this his goons. No, I kid. But it was obvious that my turn with Mel was over, and I think he took a break after that and came back and was fine. But you wonder sometimes.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see these people many times at the beginning of an interview when they have a movie, a beginning of an interview day when they have a movie that's successful, and maybe you'll see them. And you know, I don't like to blow smoke. I never like to do that. But if a movie was good and someone was good, I'd tell them.
Sure.
And oftentimes they get the reaction, nah, no, come on, what are you? And then if you see them later in the day, they're like, holy mackerel! They are just so happy. They're so ebullient. Everybody has blown smoke at them at that point.
Right.
And to look at you and say, hey, you were right. What do you know? Who knew?
Yeah, yeah, and exactly.
That was the best part of the whole gig was the surprise of seeing good movies and getting to meet superstars.
Yeah, and crazy ones, too.
And crazy ones, too,
You know, Gibson, talking about Gibson, God, what was that like? I think it was like late 2010 when his ex, Oksana. That's a scary-looking woman right there. I'm sorry. Anyway, they
that
had
was
those
yeah.
taped phone conversations.
And didn't Joe Esterhaus have an audio tape? I believe Joe Esterhaus, who was a rather interesting person himself.
Oh, yeah.
Had audio tapes of Mel kind of,
or
a voice identified as Mel going around.
Oh, that was him. And he threatened to burn down Oksana's house, put her in a effing rose garden.
Allegedly.
And called her really horrible insults, you know, on their profanity-laced rants, as we call them.
Allegedly.
Come on, we heard it.
A star, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so he was busted, you know, anyway. Okay, so we know he's been volatile.
Sometimes people just have anger issues. It's just that
they
simple.
Do.
Just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you're not, that you're different from normal people as far as, I have to tell you, you're a psychologist, you run into people like that and you interview them and you help them, but the answer is, what makes them like that? I don't know.
Who knows?
But there seem to be a number of them in
Well, there's a lot of pressure.
Business.
And like you said, you know, it's a different, it does take a different psyche to be an actor because, I mean, you do have to, There's something going on. There's a need for attention. There's a need for, you know, gratification. Like you just said, in those junkets, you see the big smile. And, oh, they love me. They love me.
They really
and there's
love
nothing
me.
Wrong with that. I think we all need strokes and we all need ego boosts because I think too many of us do have low self-esteem. But on the other hand, you know, it can be crazy making with the fans and the exposure to, again, being able to hook up with anyone and the drugs. And we'll talk about, speaking of Justin Bieber, we'll talk about that as well. And
I actually live in a very dangerous neighborhood.
I know you do. I'm very close to you.
In Calabasas. I won't go out in my car unless I have my egg protection outfit with me because
you
never know when he's going to come whizzing by with a dozen double A.
Yep.
I think he mostly uses organic eggs.
He does.
Allegedly.
And, it's Calabasas.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what I love about this area. I don't live in the highfalutin area. It's a nice area. But the point is, he lives in this has got to be it, even for Beverly, a double gated community.
It is.
You have to get through the first gate to get to the second
gate. That's true.
A single gate, I can buy. You got to go through the little gate thing. You got to check with the guard. He calls, make sure everything's cool, let him in. No. That only gets you past the first gate.
That's right.
And he lives on something like Avenue de Grandissimo or something.
Yes, as in Narcississimo.
Yeah, like I've ever been there. But I do know about that because that's he's the talk of Calabasas.
Yeah, well, he's a kid too, and he hasn't dealt with his. I don't think a lot of young people deal, you know, with their stardom. You know, I think a lot of young people sort of don't know how to, you know, kind of manage that stardom, you know, and that kind of thing. We have a caller on the line. Shall we see if someone has a question? Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and John Corcoran. Who's this?
This is John. I'm actually calling from a Google partner, Captain Marketing, and it's just in regards to the results we have for your website.
Hey, that's great, John. Listen,
where your placement is.
Hey, that sounds awesome. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you call me back when we get off the air and we'll talk? Thanks for calling, John. Have a great day.
Bless you.
All right. We always get those Google people.
I'm excited now. How your website's doing, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I'll bet you it's big.
Thank you. By the way, did you know Justin Bieber?
That guy calls me every time I'm on the radio.
He could be deported to Canada. I'm serious.
Really?
He's on a visa. He's on a work visa.
Justin Bieber kicked out of the United States.
Yes.
There's your headline, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he's facing a felony charge.
Because I know there was a rapper in his house who got arrested.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the guy's name.
Yeah,
he had cocaine. Yeah. He had cocaine on him, but come on.
And
Justin.
Yeah, broke in. They had about 40 cops go in.
Right.
Where do you think you check the refrigerator, Bob? Okay.
Yeah.
See if there's some eggs in there.
I think they just wanted to go through the devil's gates and see his house, which, by the way...
Well, he had an incident with Keyshawn Johnson, the wide receiver. And,
yeah, he did.
And he apparently went past him a little fast in his Ferrari, and Keyshawn was not happy about that.
Yeah. You know, that's a common problem in our area.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
those Ferraris zooming around the neighborhood. It's just not right.
Yeah. Poor Justin. Anyway, so
let me go on record now. I doubt he'll be deported.
I agree.
Yeah.
Too much money behind him. Who else have you interviewed who is remarkably crazy?
Well, I wouldn't call the man crazy, but he's difficult. Let's put it that way. And that would be, and I will point out in advance, I've never given a bad review. He's one of the best actors in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very famous roommate back at Harvard.
Yeah.
And he don't like the media that much.
Yeah.
It's Tommy Lee Jones, who I absolutely, there are a few people better than
he's
him.
He's pretty amazing.
Actor. Wonderfully talented. But for whatever reason, he's not real fond of being interviewed on these junkets.
Sure.
And my most memorable incident with Tom, as I like to call him, Tom. I walked in there, and he was sitting there hacking his little lungs out because he had a cold. And I'd been told he had a cold, and he had a cold. It was pretty obvious.
Okay.
It was just flying everywhere.
Oh, dear.
And I said, gee, Tom, it sounds like that's a pretty bad cold you've got. What cold?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was my green. What cold? Well, I heard you coughing. What cold? Who said I have a cold?
Oh.
I thought I heard you. I it would make me think I have a cold. Well, I heard the coughing, and there's the phlegm flying everywhere. And, I said, well, we
it's
really care.
Defensive.
He said, no, you don't care. Nobody cares.
Really?
Not quite that bad, but I exaggerate slightly.
Was this off tape?
He thought we were off tape. That was the interesting part. Yeah. As it turned out, when I got the tape back and I looked at it, we had been rolling on that, or the junket cameras and rolling on. And once you're in there, you're fair game.
Yeah.
And I put it on the air just simply with the proviso saying, you know, I have to admit, I got a nice job. This is a nice job.
Yeah.
It's relatively easy, but it's not always as easy as you think it is.
Yeah.
And the first call I got when I got back to my desk was from his publicist, who said, "We're trying."
Oh, that's funny.
We're trying. Yeah, I don't know if that's
still true. He's naughty.
Well, publicists very much control the access to stars, and that's a very powerful position. And you mentioned Tom Cruise earlier.
Yeah.
If he had not fired Pat Kingsley, he never would have gone through the Oprah incident.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Kingsley has retired. I think she may be writing a book, too, which everybody will read.
Sure.
And she was the queen of publicists for a long time. She's retired, and I think she's maybe 80 or something like that.
Yeah. She's been doing it a long time.
As long as you treated her fairly and right,
she
was fine. But when she said something was not to be done, you probably didn't want to do that.
That's right.
But and he fired her and hired one of his Scientologist friends or relatives to run his career, and that set him back quite a bit. So a good publicist can mean a lot to a star.
Yeah, it's really true. Guidance.
Guidance.
And if they follow it, that's the deal.
That's the other part, too. They have to follow it, more or less. But on the other hand, a lot of the change now, and I'm going to sound like an old fogey here, but it's true, that a lot of the rules have changed.
Yeah.
Used to be, if you want to be a movie star, learn how to act.
Yeah.
You learn how to, if you want to be a singer, you might take some singing lessons.
Maybe.
Or you might just, nowadays, learn how to twerk.
That's it, baby.
And if you can twerk it, and on TV, there is no shame anymore, it seems like. You can go to celebrity jail if you overdo it. But in general, basically everything you can get away with is fine.
Right.
And Miley Cyrus may be the most talented singer in the world, but she'll be known as the twerker.
Oh, isn't that that's great for her. Publicity.
Hurt her career.
She twerks well, may I say.
As twerkers go.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, wardrobe malfunctions.
Okay. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, accidentally on purpose. By the way, in case you just tuned in, you're on The Couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk radio station.
I'll bet you those website numbers are through the roof.
They are, baby. And that was the voice of John Corcoran, my special guest today. Author, 7-time Emmy winner, who was entertainment reporter at KABC, KCAL TV, CBS, you name it, he's been there. And, of course, his latest blog is called Breaking Satire. Very funny stuff. You want to read about celebrities and all the insights into what's going on.
That's where you want to go for all the insights.
No, I think it's and a chuckles. If you want to
raise
your vibration and be a happy person in the morning, go on to Breaking Satire, the blog.
I'm huge in Canada, apparently.
Yeah.
Turned out I'm just massive on the Sage, which is one of their satirical sites up there.
Oh, that's cool.
And I guess Canadians get me.
Cool. So when Justin Bieber is deported, he can read your satire as well.
I'm going to have his exclusive, I'm sure.
Yeah. By the way, John is also the author of his many books, but his latest is called Doing Julia. Doing Julia.
Not out yet, folks, but look for it in bookstores
as soon
as it's published.
That's right. It's almost done. It's done,
It's being tweaked.
Or twerked. Do you twerk?
I got to add a twerk section in there, I guess.
By the way, I want to also thank my sponsors today. Our show is being sponsored by Glow Lightwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Lightwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing. Their motto is wear your vibration with Sacred G Designs. So check out glowlightwear.com and get the best-looking, some of the most incredible designs of that clothing.
Is it anything like the stuff that Holly Glow Lightly wore in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No, it's not.
Oh, sir.
No, it's
that
not.
That would be very out of date. I think I can't wait to look at some of that stuff.
Yeah. Glowlightwear.com, our sponsors today on the show. Thank you so much, guys, for helping us out. And they're going to be aboard here on the couch for quite a while. So
wow.
That's really cool.
Terrific.
Nice to have them.
Yeah. And you need a TV camera for that, I would think,
to
see what the clothing looks like.
Yeah, you can see it on glowlightwear.com. All the choices. So let's talk about Well, we have some time left. Well, I want to talk about a few more other celebrities who you've sort of witnessed, you know, having, because I am a psychologist. I do find interest in a lot of what's going on with people. We all have meltdowns. We all have problems. But most of us do, you know, we're not on camera. We're not being watched or shot in really horrible situations by paparazzi coming out of the house without our makeup and, you know. Guys and women.
Never leave the house without my makeup.
You'd be surprised how many male actors wear makeup
out
of the
house. I know
they do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but I've never seen you wear makeup. Camera when you do your reporting and anchoring.
I got to cover that face up best I can. You know, let me talk about some nice people. There are nice people. There are some wonderful celebrities.
Thank you for doing that. I'm sorry. I've been taking such a negative spin on this.
That's okay. But I just to mention one who got nominated for an Oscar yesterday is Julia. Yeah, I'm all right. Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock is one of the really nice. And I got to interview her right after While You Were Sleeping, which I loved. Loved the movie. And I asked the standard question. I asked a lot of celebrities, I think, are on the web. I said, a year from now, will you still be the same wonderful person you are now? Will you turn into a not-so-nice person? Well, you could have thought I'd insulted her. She said, oh, no, there'll be no changes. I'm from good stock, raised by wonderful parents. And, you know, if you bring them up right, many times they turn out right.
Yep.
Ron Howard, another good example of that.
Yes.
Somebody who was raised in a loving family, in a good family, and turned out to be just a pip.
Yeah, and a genius.
And a genius,
by the way. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, it's really true. So I think, you know, you're right. So Sandra Bullock's a doll, and she's, of course, nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
I don't know, did you saw Gravity?
I did, twice. Yeah.
Yeah, that was that was an amazing job that she did in there.
She was terrific, considering she did a lot of mostly acting with her face, which is never easy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if she's going to be the favorite. If she hadn't won a few years ago, she would, I would think, be an odds-on favorite. But it may be Cate Blanchett's turn this year. Might be.
Okay.
Woody Allen, for all his flaws, does write roles for women.
Yes, he does.
He does indeed.
Really does. He's amazing. I was watching
Zelig
last night. That was on last night.
Oh, was it?
Oh, my God, what a genius.
Yeah,
psychologically, that movie was way ahead of its time. The guy, I mean, come on, he's had psychoanalysis for how many years, all his life or something?
Fortunately, it hasn't ruined him.
That's right. You nailed that one.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I get long stories, which would bore people, but he is he does write great roles for women, and that's a real advantage. And I think that's why he keeps getting nominated. Because actresses love him.
Yeah, they do.
Not all actresses.
So, who do you think? So you're predicting Cate Blanchett, did you say?
I think so.
Yeah.
Was she nominated?
Okay.
I hope so, because that's what I predicted.
Okay. And for Best Male Actor, who do you think will get the Academy Award this year?
Well, if I could pronounce his name.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably say
12 Years a Slave Actor.
12 Slave
Actor. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful
I can't pronounce his name very well either, and I've had the pronouncers on the Metro News, and I'm just sitting here. I can't even with the pronouncers. But let's give him let's give him some of his dues.
That movie is starting to move up, yeah.
Shai Wittel. Is that how you say it?
Yes, that's how I say it, yes.
Ijiafor. I think that's how you say it.
Gesundheit.
So,
yes,
you go.
I think he's got a very good chance.
Yes,
a very good
too.
Chance this year.
Amazing.
On the other hand, the McConaughey train has left the station, and that's moving with some alacrity.
Yeah.
A lot of it is timings, like everything else. Mm-hmm. Matthew has a TV, Matthew, like I know him, but Matthew has series on TV now, on HBO.
Yeah, he does.
That's getting him some exposure. He's well thought of as an actor. And, again, Hollywood loves redemption.
That's a guy
who turns his career around, somebody who was being laughed at not that many years ago, and all of a sudden is considered a fine actor. So
that's exactly—no, I love that.
He's got a real good shot at that.
I think that's a great, great thing, and it's for the Dallas Buyers Club, guys. If you haven't seen that, that's a heavy film.
That's not a light
flick. That's heavy, but, I mean, what an amazing acting job that Matthew McConaughey— So we have— what do we have? We have DiCaprio.
DiCaprio,
right?
The
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
And I'm going to
give it a Bale.
Shot. Christian Bale, American Hustle, Matthew McConaughey, right, of course.
Yeah, and of course Robert Redford did not get.
Yeah, he didn't.
I think part of that. A lot of people have to read the tea leaves on these, and I think the problem with Redford was a lot of people entered films at Sundance that weren't picked.
Yes.
And Hollywood, I don't want to say is a petty town. It can be.
Yeah.
And sometimes grudges are held.
Yep. All right. So who do you think's going to make it for the best actor?
Well, again, I'm probably going to go with...
Chiwetel. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think
actress,
so, too.
What do we say? Okay, we went with Cate Blanchett.
We did.
Likelihood.
And let's talk about pictures, because, okay. I mean, we're talking about the nine nominees are 12 Years a Slave.
Yep.
We have American Hustle. That was heavy, too.
I like
Captain
that.
Phillips.
Yep.
Excellent. Dallas Buyers Club.
Yep.
Of course, Matthew. Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Her, interesting, real interesting take on
psychologically,
you know,
social media. That must be a terrific picture.
Yeah.
I confess, I have not seen that yet. That's on my list to see next.
Okay. We've also got Nebraska,
yep.
Philomena, and The Wolf of Wall Street. So those are all the nominees coming up.
Yeah. It's a tough year this year. It hasn't happened yet. The thing hasn't happened. That's going to turn it. Like last year, it was when Ben Affleck,
yes,
got shortchanged, and all of a sudden, a lot of empathy went toward him.
Yes,
American Hustle. It might end up splitting some votes with The Wolf of Wall Street because it's same church, different pew.
Yeah.
So it's real. This is a good year. This is a good year. There's a lot of very good films out there.
There really are.
As pointed out by the fact that George Clooney bumped his movie back, Monument Men, to this year because it was too crowded. And he didn't want to compete
with it. Smart move.
Yeah. He ain't no dummy.
No, he's not.
No.
So Monument, have you seen that?
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah,
no, that'll be screening
that.
Shortly. Yeah.
Yeah, screening's coming up for that. I want to see that too. So The Wolf of Wall Street, you're going to place bets on that.
I saw it. I thought it was extraordinary, you know, Scorsese, who can outdo Scorsese, but it was long. I'm not sure everybody got to the end of that.
Yeah, interesting. If you look, and I'm weird because I always like to look at the gamblers. So the Vegas odds makers seem to have 12 Years a Slave as the dominant favorite to win Best Picture with a 1-3 odds.
I don't know where they got that.
Yeah,
I really don't. That seems unusual this early in the...
Yeah.
We'll depend on... The Producers Guild Awards are still coming out. We've still got the Directors Guild. We'll see what happens with that. And then we can really start reading the tea leaves.
Yeah. And that's compared to... the runner-up, they're saying the Vegas gamblers. Those gamblers. Come on. The odds makers. They're saying American Hustle has the 3-1 odds, which
is
interesting.
I don't gamble in Vegas.
Yeah, neither do I.
I got better ways of losing money.
Nah, I hear you. Living in Calabasas.
That'll do it. Waiting, trying to get invited to Justin's parties.
That's
I never
right.
get invited to Justin's parties.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's too bad. Yeah, I'm sure they're a lot of fun. So, yeah, so there, you know, and let's keep on the positive spin a little
bit,
since we're, you know, on the lighter side and who may win and all that. So, who is one of your most favorite actors or actresses? And we talked about Tommy Lee Jones. You said he's a genius.
Wonderful.
So maybe we can talk about actresses who are pretty decent folks and sort of seem to keep it real and be nice.
Well, you know, it's an individual experience. I've interviewed Diane Wiest a couple of times,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
she, for some reason, I have her number as far as cracking her up. I can get her laughing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Recently. Maybe, but for whatever reason, she would just start laughing. And she told a great story about when she was in Bullets Over Broadway with a Woody Allen movie, and she was ready to quit.
Yeah.
And because she said, this movie's too good for me to ruin it. And she said,
oh my God.
She said, when Woody talks to you, that's good. That's not good, excuse me. When Woody talks to you, that's bad. When he doesn't talk to you, you're doing your job. And she said, he was talking to me a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess she told either her hairdresser or her makeup artist the next day, said, I'm going to quit the movie. Why? Because I'm going to ruin it, and I don't want to ruin a good movie. And says, what's your problem? And she says, I just can't find the character. She says, do Tallulah. And that was the advice she took.
Oh, man.
Do Tallulah. And
Tallulah.
She did Tallulah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she called the book.
Yeah,
doing Tallulah.
That's right. So.
And all of a sudden she just, don't.
Yeah.
Don't speak.
Don't do it. Exactly.
Don't speak.
You know what? We've got a hard break coming up here with CBS News. So that this 50 minutes has gone really fast.
Wow. Yeah, I'll say. It's fun.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It was really awesome. And just too fast. All of a sudden, I looked at the clock and went, oh, my God, we've got to get going here. By the way, John Corcoran, author and 7-time Emmy winner, entertainment reporter at all the major networks, and, of course, his latest book coming out, Doing Julia. Check him out on his blog, BreakingSatire.com. It's awesome. And is that the best place people can get in touch with you and find out more about you, John?
I would think that's about as good a place as any.
Okay.
Or thesage.com, which is in Canada. But Americans can read that.
Great. Cool. Thanks again, John. It's so fun to have you here always. And thanks again also to my sponsor today, glowlightwear.com. There's love and light in every stitch. High-quality sports and nice casual clothing. Wear your vibration. Check it out. glowlightwear.com. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for everybody else, because that's the way it works in life, see? All right. Be back next week. More of the best on relationships to help you out. Bye-bye. Come back here so I can get your name. Oh, I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. Of sound.